Vamsa Prabhupada Gita Namjaha Thakur Kiya Jaya Kramsa Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dari Gadadar Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopiras Shama Kunda Radha Gurta Giri Gubhardhan Ki Jaya Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya Navadabdhan Ki Jaya Gaungsa Manasa Sri Bhakti Devi Ki Jaya Ananda Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya Samabhata Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya Gopremanandi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthapukale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvata Devi Gauravani Pracharana Vishesha Shunyavadi Vasvachade Shatavane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nishananda Sri Vedika Dada Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhaktivedanta
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Read from Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 34, Srimad Bhagavatam
Yadacharya Paravritto
Yadacharya Paravritto
Grihamediya Kamasu
Grihamediya Kamasu
Vayasyar Balakaistatra
Vayasyar Balakaistatra
Sopahuta Pratakshanai
Sopahuta Pratakshanai Yadacharya Paravritto Grihamediya
When Acharya, teachers, and Paravritta became engaged, Grihamediya, of household life, Karmashu, in duties, Vayasyai, by his friends, Balakai, boys, Tatra, there, Sa, Ladmaras, Apuruta, called, Kritakshanai, obtaining an opportune moment. Translation: when the teachers went home to attend to their household affairs, the students of the same age as Prahlad Maharaj would call him to take the opportunity of leisure hours for play. Purport: in tiffin hours, the hours when the teachers were absent from the classroom, the students called Prahlad Maharaj wanting to play with him. As will be seen from the following verses, however, Prahlad Maharaj was not very much interested in playing. Instead, he wanted to utilize every moment for advancing in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, as indicated in this verse by the word Kritakshanai, at the opportune moment when it was possible to preach about Krishna consciousness, Prahlad Maharaj used the time as follows. Text 55. Prahlad Maharaj, who was truly the supreme learned person, then addressed his class friends in very sweet language. Smiling, he began to teach them about the uselessness of the materialistic way of life. Being very kind to them, he instructed them as follows. Purport: Prahlad Maharaja's smiling is very significant. The other students, who are very much advanced, enjoy materialistic life through religion, economic development, sense gratification, but Prahlad Maharaj laughed at them, knowing that this was not actual happiness. For real happiness is advancement in Krishna consciousness. the duty of those who follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj is to teach the entire world how to be Krishna conscious and thus be really happy. Materialistic persons take to so-called religion to get some blessings so they can improve their economic position and enjoy the material world through sense gratification. But devotees like Prahlad Maharaj laugh at how foolish they are to be busy in a temporary life without knowledge of the soul's transmigration from one body to another. Materialist persons are engaged in striving for temporary benefits, whereas persons advanced in spiritual knowledge, such as Prahlad Maharaj, are not interested in the materialistic way of life. Instead, they want to be elevated to an eternal life of knowledge and bliss. Therefore, as Krishna is always compassionate to the fallen souls, his servants, the devotees of Lord Krishna, are also interested in educating the entire populace in Krishna consciousness. The mistake of materialistic life is understood by devotees, and therefore they smile upon it, considering it insignificant. Out of compassion, however, such devotees preach the gospel of Bhagavad Gita all over the world. Last verse. My dear King Yudhisthira, all the children were very much affectionate and respectful to Prahlad Maharaj, and because of their tender age, they were not so polluted by the instructions and actions of their teachers who were attached to condemned duality and bodily comfort. Thus, the boys surrounded Prahlad Maharaj, giving up their playthings, and sat down to hear him. Their hearts and eyes being fixed upon him, they looked at him with great earnestness. Prahlad Maharaj, although born in a demon family, was an exalted devotee and he desired their welfare. Thus he began instructing them about the futility of material life. Report, the words Bala Adushita Diya indicate that the children, being of tender age, were not as polluted by materialistic life as their fathers. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, taking advantage of the innocence of his class friends, began teaching them about the importance of spiritual life and the insignificance of materialistic life. Although the teachers, Shanda and Amarka, were instructing all the boys in the materialistic life of religion, economic development, sense gratification, the boys were not much polluted. Therefore, with great attention, they wanted to hear from Prahlad Maharaj about Krishna consciousness. In our Krishna consciousness movement, the Gurukul plays an extremely important part in our activities because, right from childhood, the boys at the Gurukul are instructed about Krishna consciousness. Thus, they become steady within the core of their hearts, and there is very little possibility that they will be conquered by the modes of material nature when they are older. Thus, in the Bhagavad-gita purports of the 7th canto, 5th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, titled Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly son of Arani Kasipu. So, these concluding verses of this chapter simply state that Prahlad Maharaj didn't become convinced by the teachers, and instead, he began teaching the students the opposite. He never gave up his concentration on the Supreme Lord. And moreover, he was very compassionate to these students. Of course, he didn't teach the teachers because they, like his father, were condemned materialists and would never change their minds. But as it said here, the boys were adushita diya, which means their intelligence was not yet contaminated. It was not fixed in materialism. So therefore, there was a chance that they could actually appreciate the words of Prahlad. So we understand that Prahlad was fixed because he got the mercy of Narada Muni in the womb. So he was fixed on the Supreme Lord and had reached a very high level of advancement. His associates, of course, were all materialistic, his father, his family, his teachers, and somewhat the children also. However, as we see here, the children were not completely fixed yet in materialistic life. So there was some chance that they could be convinced. Parents, of course, were completely, Rani Kastavu, completely convinced of materialism. But the young children were not. So this, of course, is natural. Children, when they are young, have no fixed goals, no fixed ideas. And therefore, it's very easy to teach them when they're young. But when they start getting older, then all this knowledge goes in and whatever's in them, and that gets fixed there. So, Prabhupada is saying here that when the child is young, therefore you have to give them spiritual education. And then that way, even if they get later material education, this spiritual education from early age will still be there, so it won't influence them so much. On the other hand, if from early age they simply get materialistic education, that will become fixed in them, then it will be very difficult to speak to them about spiritual things later on. So, to some degree, this is instituted within the Varnashram system, which is basically Artha Dharma, Kama. But, as I said, the goal of that system also is moksha if it's done properly. And therefore, in that system, there is provision for proper education. So therefore, the students go to Gurukul. The students learn the Vedas. They become brahmacharis for many years. This is the system for the Vaishya, Kshatriyas, and Brahmins. So they must get some. They're obliged to get Vedic education. Vedas means, of course, they should learn all the Vedas. Some of it is Karmakanda. We have Gyankanda and Bhakti also. So they have to learn everything. So they get some spiritual education there. It's not just Artha Dharma Kama. And brahmachari means that they learn austerity, renunciation, detachment, sense control, tapasya. So in the traditional Gurukul, the children live very simply, eat simply, dress very simply, sleep on the ground, etc. And they study in the daytime, they do manual chores, etc., for the school, etc. And they're taught obedience. So they live a very simple life. And we see even Krishna followed this life. He went to the forest and they were with the Sandipani Muni in the ashram. And he followed this system also. So this inculcates when they're children some sort of sense of simplicity of life so that we don't get extremes like pranikasipu, absorb completely a materialistic life, never striving for any detachment. So, of course, it is always possible a person after the brahmachari life will become a grihastha and he will also become materialistic. But at least there's more chance. If as a child they get some spiritual education, the simplicity in life, they won't be too attached in grihastha life. And then, after grihastha life is finished, they're supposed to renounce everything again. So the Vaishyas and Kshatriyas can at least take vanaprastha. And the Brahmins can also take sannyas. So then they have to start giving up their grihastha life again. So, inbuilt, I say, in that Varnashram system is the idea that ultimately you have to become detached. And therefore, in the beginning, you should not be detached either, and therefore, brahmachari life is there. This, of course, excludes the sudras. The sudras are not supposed to become, go to the Gurukul, learn the Vedas, etc. So they only have one ashram, grihastha ashram. But all the other more intelligent people, they're supposed to get higher education. So, therefore, the system is there in the Varnashram system to some degree, the system of detachment and some spiritual life is fixed there. Now, the danger of that, the negative side of that is that the teachers may be the wrong teachers, and they'll teach you only the karma section. So this is exactly what happens. Oh yes, we're also following very nicely. We're teaching the children Artha Dharma Kama. So they'll teach the Vedas, they'll say, and they'll teach them the materialistic part only, and exclude the renunciation part. So that could be a danger also in that system. You get the wrong emphasis and the wrong interpretation, etc. And you encourage people to simply enjoy in the material world. So that would be the danger there. That is the Varnashram system. There are some provisions there for good education so that one can become spiritually advanced. In comparison to that, then we have the process of bhakti. So bhakti is more powerful than anything. And we see that Prahlad became advanced, not because he went to the Gurukul, but because he got the mercy of Narada Muni in the womb. And then he got bhakti, so then that bhakti developed when he was in the womb even. So that, when he was a small child, he had greatly advanced. So his spiritual life began in the womb even.
So bhakti is a little different than the other processes. It can begin at any stage. Of course, we're lucky if it begins in the womb. If it doesn't, then after the child is born, then the parents can raise the child with proper Krishna conscious knowledge. And this is beneficial for the child, even if there is no guru. So the process of bhakti is such that it can operate in spite of whatever else is going on simultaneously. So even though the child may have materialistic education, he can also simultaneously get the elements of bhakti. These can also be taught. And it will always be beneficial for the child. Why? Because even though there's no guru system intact, the process of bhakti itself is very powerful. So we know that even accidental association with bhakti can destroy your karmas, etc., as in the case of Ajamil. So if the children are taught elements of bhakti when they're young children, it is always beneficial for them and has a very powerful influence. It can influence in the womb, as we see in the case of Prahlad Maharaj. And any time after that, it can have good influence. So, if as children, one gets engagement in devotional service and proper knowledge of what is the real goal in life, then the chances are that even though he may get material education and grow up and have to work as a grihastha, etc., still, he will have some understanding of the spiritual goal. And then later on, he can renounce household life and take fully the spiritual life. So, if there is no varnashram system, still, the process of bhakti can be implemented and it can work in any case. So, with or without that system, it works. Now, of course, it is more favorable to have that system. It acts as a good support. And therefore, the education in general becomes more favorable because it is spiritually oriented. So that can be done along with the devotional education. And then the possibilities of the person will become devotional even more. So here, Prahlad understood that the young years of these children was very important, and he was very compassionate to them. So compassion is one of the qualities of the Vaishnava, and that is a reflection of the quality of the Supreme Lord. So one of the Lord's most attractive qualities is his great compassion for all the jivas, and particularly his great attraction and mercy that he shows to devotees, which increases and increases and increases until in prema he's completely under the control of the devotee. He gives himself completely to the devotee in prema. But even in the beginning stages, the Lord is very attractive. So therefore, Ajamil does chance the name on Narayan accidentally, and that is enough too. Do something for him, wipe out his karmas. And we have Gajendra, who was an elephant, and he was suffering, chanted the prayers to the Supreme Lord. And the Lord responded to that, even though his desire was not completely pure, it was a mixed desire. He wanted to get free from the crocodile. But still, the Lord heard the prayers, the Lord rescued him. So the Lord is very compassionate, particularly to the devotees. So what do we do about the non-devotees? So the Lord is also compassionate to them. So he comes as avatar to deliver them, to reveal himself. He reveals scriptures for them. So we see the Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna himself to Arjuna. It's not only for Arjuna. And it's not that Arjuna was under illusion and he had to rectify him. It was the Lord's yoga maya that produced bewilderment for Arjuna. In order that Krishna could speak Bhagavad Gita for the people of the world. That's all. And similarly, Parikshit Maharaj insulted the Brahmana and got cursed. Even though he was an exalted king and knew he should honor Brahmins and should not be afflicted by thirst or anything, somehow he got afflicted by thirst and he just rude to the Brahmana. How is it possible? Not possible. So again, arrangement of the Supreme Lord so that Sukadeva could speak Bhagavad to him. So Lord makes arrangements for teachings directly in the case of Bhagavad Gita, indirectly by having Sukadeva speak Pariksha, so we have Bhagavad. So this is how the Supreme Lord is compassionate in general to people in general, even if they're not devotees. He gives scripture, he provides process like the holy name, makes it available to everyone in the mature world. He comes as avatar and reveals his form so everyone can see it, even the non-devotees, and even the demons. And another form of his mercy is devotees. He empowers the devotees to give out his mercy when he is not present. So therefore, the Lord is compassionate even to the materialists. And the devotees also are compassionate to the materialists. Now, of course, we have Apara, do not preach to the faithless persons. So that looks like, oh, we're not compassionate to anybody because we can't preach to the faithless persons. So what this means is that we do not give intimate instructions to materialists, and particularly people who are hostile or aparadis, we try to avoid them. So the conduct of the Madhyamadhikari is stay away from the hostile people. Associate with the devotees. Worship the Supreme Lord. And be merciful to the innocent people. Those who are not hostile, but are also ignorant. So, the Madhyamadhikari devotee is compassionate. So he is the vehicle for the Lord's compassion. The power that a devotee has is actually the power of the Supreme Lord invested in the devotees. So the devotees preach. That is Lord Shakti manifesting through them. The Shakti of Bhakti belongs to the Supreme Lord manifesting the devotee, and the devotee gives out that Shakti to other people. So in this way, the devotee shows compassion. And the Supreme Lord does not order the devotee how to give out and when to give out and who to give out to. He allows the devotee. He's not a 100% Prem Bhakta, but he's just a Madhyamadhikari, but he allows him to give out mercy as he chooses. So he gives the free will of the jiva to the Madhyamadhikari to distribute mercy as he chooses. So therefore, it is fortunate to get the mercy of the Madhyamadhikari devotee, because that's actually the mercy of Krishna. So the devotees are compassionate. And why? Why they want to give out the mercy of the Lord is because the Lord himself is full of compassion. As I said, he wants to deliver and help all the fallen souls. So the devotees also have that same feeling. So how they deliver everyone? By proper knowledge and instructions on bhakti. That is their compassion. So this is what Prahlad did. He was compassionate to these young boys who had not developed intense demonic qualities yet. So he could preach to them. And the next chapters, we see that his preaching, he taught the boys different things. So ultimately, he's telling them to do and practice devotion when they're young and worship the Supreme Lord. This is the most valuable thing. So compassion is the aspect of the devotee of the Lord, and manifests actually a manifestation of Krishna's mercy. It's coming through the devotee. So it is natural that these devotees like Prahlad are compassionate to the fallen souls. They like to help them in all ways. That is a reflection of the Lord's compassion. This is distinct from material compassion. So material compassion, generally, obviously it has motives involved in it, because attached to the gunas of its material. And we'll find it manifest in particular in sattva gun. So that compassion is concerning often the material body. So we like to help the material body, help the poor, help the sick, help the uneducated with the material things. So this is what we call material compassion. It is better than completely ignoring everyone and simply enjoying as much as you can. That's very asuric. So within the Varnashram system, they have not just avoid the papa, but do punya. They encourage acts of compassion in which you spend your efforts and your money, etc., for others. Okay? So that is punya. So that is encouraged. But of course we see the results of that is binding. It binds you to enjoyment and sattva-guna in the material world. The results of punya is enjoyment in future lifetimes. So it's binding. So therefore material compassion, we have to be very careful that it can lead us into the material world instead of out of the material world. Yeah? So the compassion which is nirguna, beyond the gunas, that is the compassion in bhakti. So there, our compassion is to elevate the souls beyond the material world by giving them proper knowledge and proper guidance rather than material benefits, things like education or health or whatever. So there's a great distinction there between the two things, material compassion and spiritual compassion. So the devotees concentrate on the spiritual compassion. We cannot ignore completely material compassion also, in the sense that if people are sick and people are dying or people are disturbed, it's very difficult for them to practice Krishna consciousness. So if we can somehow help them a little bit, fine. But our main effort is giving them spiritual knowledge. That's our principal effort. And everything else is secondary to that. Not really, because we'll find that if one becomes a yogi or a jnani and they get liberation, no qualities,
no compassion for anything, it's just consciousness finished.
So the compassion develops by bhakti. All good qualities develop in a devotee. That's the subhada, second quality of bhakti, subhada. Development of good qualities. What are the good qualities? One develops affection for all living entities. That's the first good quality that develops. So that is a devotional thing that develops in the person. But if he doesn't practice bhakti, that doesn't show up. He makes a sattva-gun thing, and then if you get liberation, you got sattva-gun also, and then there's no compassion at all. There's no qualities in the Atma when it's in Brahman. No qualities at all manifesting.
Narantaraj Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Kishore Das Bhanu Maharaj ki. Jivain Vesesi Bhakti Dasam Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai Gaur Premanandi.